So, Parshas Truma opens up discussing the notion that everyone has to give. Right? That whatever a person feels compelled to give, that's the Truma that they should give. So the Chasam Sofer writes that if you look as the Parsha proceeds, when it talks about the Chatzar HaMishkan, it talks about the courtyard of the Mishkan, so the Chasam Sofer says when you preserve the Chatzar HaMishkan, so you're Zochet to come onto the level of Har HaBayis. And he explains that Korach, we know Korach's famous mistake, right, when Korach says, right, that Klal Yisrael is Kulam Kedoshim, right, that everyone Klal Yisrael is holy, and how come Moshe, why are you taking all the authority, you and Aaron, why are you, you know, usurping all the authority for yourself and not, you know, spreading the wealth? So Korach's taina specifically, says the Chasam Sofer, was that you don't need a mishkan to connect to Hashem. That was his taina. In other words, Korach's taina against Moshe and against everyone else is that the mishkan is not really, it's not ma'akiv your connection to Hashem. In a way, Korach was actually right. In a way, Korach was right, but on the other hand, it wasn't the ideal kind of relationship. The relationship, we're supposed to have a mishkan. Okay. So then also, in terms of how the truma worked exactly. In other words, it's clear from the psukim that there were three separate trumos that were given. The first two, there was a set amount, there was a standard, as we'll get back to that point a little bit later. And the third truma was meis kol asher shared venolivo, was whatever you wanted to give. So the Chasam Sofer writes that a person has to first learn the practices of a nediv lev. A person needs to be able to understand what it means to be a giving person. In other words, to be a person who's able to give before he actually gives over anything, before he actually gives over any money, because you have to be a person who by nature is a nediv lev. Then it goes another shot that the three trumas refer to the breakup of your life, to the way you apportion your life. The famous Gemara at the end of the first break of Kiddushin, the Gemara quotes the famous drasha, the Vishinantam Levanecha, the Gemara says, Al Tikre Vishinantam, El Vishilashtam, we're supposed to divide up your learning, Shlishma Mikra, Shlishma Mishra, Vishlishma Talmud, further my focus, what exactly that means, the Raman Tosis, whatever. So Chasam Sofer says that these three trumos are a reference to the three types of learning, the three areas of learning that you're supposed to involve yourself in throughout the course of your life. Then the Chasam Sofer further points out, you know, there's a famous drush that the Gemara Megillah has about Mordechai. So the Gemara says that why was he called Mordechai? So the Gemara says because Mari Dachya, right? Because Mari Deror, Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, right? The Pasuk says when it describes the Ketorah, so one of the ingredients of the Ketorah was Mari Deror. So the Targum says Mari Deror means Mari Dachya. Mari Dachya means like pure spice. So the Gemara points out that's a reference to Mordechai. So he says that so Mordechai, right, is symbolic of the Tzaddikim because Tzaddikim are Liban Birshusan, that they have control over their own hearts. And contrast, the Gemara at the end of the first book of Megillah says about Haman that Haman's heart was the Gemara says he wore his heart on his sleeves. Right? It says it's when the pasuk says v'chol zeh einenu shoveli, when Haman says that he says as long as Mordechai is still around, all the things that are happening to me aren't worth it for me. He was showing what his true essence was. Then the Chasam Sofer points out interestingly the thing also is that in terms of those three halakim of Torah we mentioned before of Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So there were three different people in our history who were very important to each of those three sections. Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is symbolic of Mikra. We have Rebbe of Yehuda Hanasi, who's Mishnah, and then you have Ravina Ravashi, who symbolized Talmud. So he says that for each of those three people, he says that they embody what's called Torah Gdula B'Makom Echad, because each of them respectively completed their portion of Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and therefore they were the embodiment not only the Osiba Torah, but also a certain measure of Gedula, because they completed that section of Torah. Okay, now the Kli Yakar points out the following. He says that, first of all, he quotes that there's a machlokas in general. This is really more nogea to Parshas Kisisa, but it comes up here also, which is how exactly the Machatzis HaShekel works. So we always assume that the whole point of Machatzis HaShekel was to avoid Ayin Hara, so this way you count the coins, you don't count that. So Kli Yakar says, he quotes a machlokas about this. One Shita says that in Echadami they gave the coins so they wouldn't have to count the heads. The other Shita says that they counted the heads anyway. But the reason why they gave the coins was stop to give tzedakah. They gave the coins the Derech Tzedakah, and really they counted the heads of Klal Yisrael. Then the Kli Yakar points out also that the word Yidvenu, right, may call Shri Yidvenu Libo, so the word Yidvenu could also be read as if it had a vav in the middle instead of a vase. Yidvenu meaning to say from the word Daveh V'chai, which means a person who's in pain, a person who's going through some kind of anguish. So he says that the first two trumos that were given were a chova. The third truma, as we mentioned before, was Me'ez Kol HaShem Yidvenu Libo, was based on whatever you could afford or whatever you wanted to give. But the difference was, the Kli Yakar points out that if a person, let's say, pledged to give a certain amount, down, even for the voluntary truma, Beis Din could then enforceably take it away from him. In other words, that's the reference to the event. Even though it's technically voluntary, once you pledge to give a certain amount, so then you're obligated to give that amount. Then the Kliyakar has a fascinating heart. He says that HaKadosh Baruch, if you take a look carefully at the Pesukim, only associates his name with the first two trumas and not with the third. So the reason for that is because HaKadosh Baruch doesn't like gaiva. He says HaKadosh Baruch does not associate his name with a situation where there's an opportunity to show off how much money you have. The first two trumas are the same amount, no matter how wealthy or how poor you are, it's always going to be the same amount of money. But in the third truma, it's whatever you can afford or whatever you can't afford. Yeah. So he says that, he points out furthermore, he says that anava is the yesod habinyan upon which Klal Yisrael is built. He says, if you look at the Mishkan, all the adonim, the sockets in the Mishkan, are all the same size. The word adonim comes from the word adnus usrara. It implies a state of nobility, a state of rulership. And he says, a person who makes himself like a doorpost, like the yeskupa, the doorpost, to be trampled on, he will become the Yesod HaBinyan. The person, right, the Gemara says this all over the place. The person who humbles himself, who makes Nasa Atzma Kishtirayim, who makes himself like he's nothing, he will become the greatest person. And this was the word Nasi also. The word Nasi means to be Nosei Asachim, means to carry other people. That's the whole Yesod. Being in a position of power, right, with great power comes great responsibility, right? That's basically what he's saying. It's not enough to just be in a position of power. You have to also, you know, do something with your power that you have. And then based on the same idea, Kliyakar also points out that you bring Karbanos Tzibor Dafka from the second Truma, because Karbanos are something which are Ruach Shvala, represents Anava, represents, you know, a state which is not a state of Gaiva. But he says that the third Truma, the third Truma, which is whatever people want to give, that's where the Klei HaMikdash come from. And he says Hashem, once again, does not associate his name with that, because that represents a sense of Gaiva. And the Klei HaKar also points out, again, along a very similar theme, that if you take a look at the very beginning of the Parsha, when it lists, when the Pasuk says Shem El Lama Orbis, Amim L'Shem, and Mishkan, like Torah, Samim, all these different things that they were bringing for the Mishkan. So the last thing is where Avnei Shoam Avnei Miluim La'ifod V'La'choshen. That's the last thing on the list. So he says the Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim were by far the most expensive things that were donated to the Mishkan, and yet they're listed last to show that Echad Hamamed VeEchad Harmarbe. We say Hamamed, that doesn't really make a difference how much you give. It all matters what your kavana is when you're giving. And he says, and we know the famous Varda Rashi quotes from Parshas Naso, right? The word Nesiim is spelled Chaser because the Nesiim waited to the very end to give, and that displayed a sense of gaiva, as if to say they could cover all their costs and they could pay for everything. And the letter Yud, which is taken out of the Nesiim, with the Gemara Kiddushin points out, the letter Yud represents Anava, the smallest letter. So he says, and the Kliyakar says that the reason why these things are listed last Bedavka is because they're the most expensive and they represent a sense of Gaiva on behalf of the Nesiim. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't as thrilled with that as he was with everything else. Fine. And then along the similar lines, the Kliyakar says also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the giver more than that. The specific item that was given, which again is why the Avnei Shom, the Avnei Miluim are put at the end of the list, because it doesn't really make much of a difference what you give, but rather what your kavana is when you give. The Kliyakar has also a lot of fascinating insights about the Mishkan. He points out that there are 15 steps from the Ezra Sisrael to the Ezra Nashon. This is in the Mishkan as well as in the Beis HaMikdash, and he says they were built by Shlomo HaMelech, who is the 15th generation after Avram Avinu. And he says that we know from the Pasuk of Koheles that a person is an Olam Katan, right? That a person is the embodiment of a small world. And he says we are the medium, we channel Hashra'as Hashchina, and we become a place where Hashem can remember, which of course the famous part of, right, of Asu Dimitash Shachanti B'socha, where all the Mefarshim has, what do you mean, which is a besocho, and a singular is a besocho, means that it's besocho lechad v'yechad, that every single person is really an embodiment of a Mishkan where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within us. Then the Pasuk says, Zahav v'chesev u'nechosha, so we have gold, silver, and copper. So the Kliyakar writes that Nebuchadnezzar, we know that Nebuchadnezzar, Sefer Daniel, has a famous Nebuah where he forgets his dream, but it's a dream of the golden statue, the golden head, and then Daniel has to tell him his dream. The reason why he had this Nebuah was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, to show that we have the Zchusim to beat out all of these nations, right? It says that we have the Zahava Tenufa, you have the Oros Elim, those things are connected. What the Kliyakar says is Larav HaMa'adim. In other words, like the ministering angel over Mars, which represents blood, as we've spoken about a few times before. In other words, that these forces of, you know, these celestial forces which represent harm, represent blood, they don't affect us because we're protected by our Zchusim. And then we also have the menorah. The Zchusim of the menorah also protect us. Okay, then the Kliyakar, sorry, the Das Kinnam, on a similar note, also points out that that these the Zav Kesef and the Choshes represent different nations that try to harm us. The Zav represents Bavel, Kesef is Persia, is Praz, and the Choshes is Yavan, and the Orosei Lima Adamim is Edom, and the Shemen Lama Or is Mashiach. In other words, this is basically like Jewish history summed up in a few words. It's all the struggles and issues that we've had to go through, and then eventually what's going to happen at the end. Then the Dasik also points out the famous verb about the Atzei Shittim Omdim. So he says the word Shittim is a Rashi Tevos for Shalom Tova Yeshua Mechila. In other words, the wood of the Atzei Shittim was very light. He says also that it came from Yaakov's Makil, back in Parshas Vayishlach, that Yaakov took Rekivim Makli Avarti Asa Yarden Azeh. Yaakov takes his Makil. So he says the wood of Yaakov's Makil was actually what was used for the Atzei Shittim when they were building the Mishkan. Then the Daske was also a fascinating Ha'ara. He says that all the things that are listed in the beginning of Parshas Truma, Luchora, are Utsorah Habini. They're all for the purpose of building the Mishkan. So he says, but so let's try with the Shemen HaMishkan. Shemen HaMishkan has nothing to do with building the Mishkan. So the Shemen HaMishkan was used to anoint the Kelim and the Ketores, and he says it's normal for a Melech to be Mavasim, to take some Ketores and to use it to make things smell nice when he enters the palace. And the Shemen Lama Or, it's also the Derech HaMalachim to light a candle before they enter the Bayis. So it's all considered to be part of the Tzorach HaBinyan, even though it's not technically part of the actual structure of the Mishkan. You know, there's a famous word that Rashi talks about here, how Moshe and Bezalel, how they flipped the order of what was the Caleb first, the Mishkan first, what did Hashem show Moshe, what did Moshe tell to Bezalel, what did Bezalel figure? There's a lot of confusion here about who did what. So the Chazon Tover writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu flipped the order of the Mishkan and the Caleb to Moshe because he wanted Moshe to start with something which had a lesser level of Kedusha and then work his way up, like kind of like Malam HaKodesh. But Bezalel was Machavin to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually intended to do, which was to build the actual structure of the Mishkan first, as he says, because how could you have a Kalim without having a place to store them? And there's a fascinating Har the Chasofer makes. He says that how is it possible that you can have this machlokas Moshe Mitzahu about what should be built first? He says lechora there should be one clear halacha psuka and that's it. And if you start playing around with it, so then you run into all these sorts of baltosim shailas. You run into inov rashi lechadav meata. How can you start? How can you start patching around and saying, well, you can build this way, you can build that way. It doesn't really matter. You can do it. What kind of business is that? Kassover says that licked in the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, built into the mitzvah of the Mishkan, was that it was going to be a Asivim Lashanus. The chiddush of the Mishkan was that it was set up in such a way that it was going to change in the future, which is a tremendous chiddush. Most mitzvahs you can't say about a mitzvah that's going to change in the future, called a kfira usually. But he says built into the mitzvah of building the Mishkan is that it was, the way it was going to be built was going to change in the future. The Kliyakar points out that Moshe wasn't sure if he should make the Mishkan first like Hashem said, or the Kalim first like Hashem showed him, right? Kasher Mareh Bahar. So there are two different instances where Moshe seems to have conflicting views about what's supposed to be built first. And therefore, he says, the Pasuk says, V'chein Ta'asu, the Vava V'chein Ta'asu, connects that back to Hashem's Amira. And he says, it's not that Bezalel made the Kalim first, it says, Bezalel definitely made the Mishkan first. But the reason why the Aron was listed is because the Aron was the most chashuv of the Kalim because of the Keser Torah, and therefore it was the first one to be listed. Famous pasuk quoted before, V'asuli mikdash shachanti besocham. So the Chasam Sofer says that a person has to make himself into a merkava l'shchil. You have to make yourself into a chariot, into a conduit for avodas Hashem, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reside in you. In Parshas Kisisa, so the Mishkan is enlisted first. Chasam has a whole cheshbon. He says the Mishkan is listed first at Kisisa because Yom Kippur fell out on a Monday. So Moshe started to instruct Klal Yisrael about Melechas HaMishkan on Tuesday, the day after Yom Kippur, the day after he came down. And therefore, there's no way that it would have been completed, the Mishkan would have been completed before Shabbos. In Parshas Truma, Moshe comes down on Shavuot or Betamuz, which either was on a Thursday or a Friday. So he gave the instructions on a Sunday, so there's plenty of time to complete the Mishkan. So Moshe felt, in other words, in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe is giving the instructions about the Kalim first because it's not shaykh to finish the Mishkan before Shabbos. Here in Parshas Truma, it was shaykh for Moshe for them to finish the Mishkan before Shabbos. Never he gave those instructions first. And the famous word about the Asu Aron. All the farshas talk about this. Why does it say the Asu? By all the other kelim in the Mishkan, it says the Asisa in the singular, and you shall make. But by the Aron, it says the Asu, and they shall make in the plural. So why does it say the Asu? So we'll see. There are a lot of different verses about this. But the Chasover first of all writes that the Aron gave special siyat d'shmaya to make the Tzura HaMishkan, to make the Mishkan look like what it was supposed to look like. But he says, once Hur was killed, so then Bezalel intuitively figured out what the Mishkan should look like. Beforehand, they had to rely on the siyat d'shmaya of the Aron to figure out what the Mishkan should look like. And then afterwards, Bezalel kind of figured it out on his own. Now, we know also that the shear of the Aron was Amasayim Vachitzi Arko. All the measurements of the Aron are all in halves. They're Amasayim Vachitzi, right? They're Amasayim Vachitzi Rachbo. They're all in halves. Why is that? So the Chasam Sofer says that that mit, we know, based on the Gemara Nedarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Klal Yisrael, that Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to give over the Mikra and Mishnah, the basic, basic structure of Torah Shavachsav and basics of Torah Shavachal Peh, Moshe gave over to us. But the Gemara Nedarim points out that there's something that Hashem gave to Moshe as a gift that he did not need to give to us, but gave to us anyway, which is Pilpul. Things of Pilpul, learning, with Svara back and forth, that was a special gift to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe gave that to us, he gave that to us as a gift. So he says, that's something which only the Talmud Chacham can bring out, and that's representative of the shear of a half. In other words, it's not the full thing that Hashem wanted to give to us. It's more like Moshe on his own accord gave it to us, even though he didn't really have to do that in the first place. So getting back to the question we raised before, pasuk says v'asu aron atzei shitim, right, in the plural. So why does it say in the plural as opposed to every other of the kelim? So the Or HaChaim says that you need to have that we know that there's a phenomenon that we obviously we have 613 mitzvos, and it's physically impossible for any one person to be mekayim all the mitzvos, either because you're not kohen, a levi, there's a mitzvah, man, whatever the mitzvah says, you physically can't be mekayim all the mitzvos. So the Or HaChaim says that in order to be mekayim all the mitzvos, you have to get all Klal Yisrael together. V'asu aron, the aron is the embodiment of the Torah, and therefore in order to fulfill all the mitzvos, you need to have all Klal Yisrael. That's why Asu is in the plural. The Kliyakar says that the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach, the pasuk describes, they all have a Zer Zahav Saviv. They have this like golden crown or golden fence or gate around it. The Aron, as we mentioned before, all the measurements of the Aron are Shavuros. They're all in halves. They're not whole measurements. The Mizbeach is exact opposite. They're all Shlemos. They're all whole measurements. And the Shulchan has some of both. So the Kliyakar explains, when it comes to Chachma, so we should always look up to Hashem and realize how much we're lacking and strive for more. But when it comes to physical possessions, we should always look down and be sameach b'chalkos. So the Shulchan is the embodiment of both of those things. Therefore, some are shalim and some are shavur, because it represents both those ideas. The Aron is completely b'midas shavuros. The measurements are completely in half, because, right, in other words, in length, width, and breadth, to show that we always assume that we're chaser b'data, that we're always lacking in our knowledge. And the Kliyakar writes that there are three things that prevent a person from acquiring chachma. Number one is the omeka Indian. Maybe the sugya that you're learning is so deep and so difficult to understand, so that could be one thing which is preventing you from understanding. Second thing is kotzer hadas, is just person's lack of knowledge. Third thing is what he calls orech hahatzos, which could mean the breadth of the topic, or like how far reaching his Torah is. Those three things can typically prevent the person from gaining knowledge in a certain area. And then the Shulchan is merami is to keser malchus, and part of it is shalim to show that all of our success comes from Hashem, but part of it is chaser to show, the famous medrash in Kohelis Rabbah, that a person dies without even chatzi tavaso biyad, that a person, right, person has 200, he wants 400, a person has 400, he wants 800, a person, he doesn't, in other words, he's still lacking, he thinks he's lacking when he dies, because he doesn't have everything in the Mizbeach. The Midos on the Mizbeach are totally shalim, because the Mizbeach elevates you. The Kliyakar has a fascinating insight about the Asu Aron, where he says that the reason why it's written in the plural is because, based on the famous comment of the Rambam and the Hilchos Talmud Torah, where the Rambam writes that in contrast to the Keser Kahuna and the Keser Malchus, which are designated specifically for Kohanim or for Malchus based David, the Keser Torah is Mufkar Lakol, and a famous line, right, Kol Rotz Elito Yavu Vito, right? The Keser Torah is open for everyone, and therefore, it says Vasu, because Vasu means that the Torah, the Aron, is open for everyone to take it, and it's available for whoever wants it, and it's the Eitz Chayim Yilam HaChatzikim, and anyone who wants to grab onto it can grab onto it. The other clever quote is, the Pasuk by the Aron describes, the Aron was Mibayas Umichutz Titzapet, it was plated with gold on the inside and the outside. So the Kliyakar has five shatim, about what that means, so what the significance of that is. So first the Kliyakar says that the reason why the significance of being plated on the inside and the outside is that not everyone is a baki benigla uvenistar in those two components of Torah, and he says not everyone is tohu kabar, not everyone, their insides are as pure as they make themselves out to be, and therefore he says that tzipui zaha, the gold plating, is going to differ from one person to the next. One guy's going to have a better exterior, one guy's have a better interior, right? It all depends on the person. Kliyakar points out that we don't have to warn, if you tell a guy to paint something, right, you tell a guy to plate something with gold, you don't have to warn the artisan to plate the outside with gold. The outside, you dafka want to plate with gold, because that's what everyone's going to see. No one's going to see the inside, only if you open it. So in other words, it's not a chiddush to paint the inside with gold. So why does the Torah have to stress we're also painting the inside with why is the Torah stressing that they're painting the outside with gold? No, especially wants to paint the outside with gold. So the Kliyakar says, one shot is that a person will naturally be mahadir his chitzonis. A person wants to make himself look good on the outside. So he's the gonna, you know, prop up his externals. So he says, so too, a Talmud Chacham needs to be warned to make more important than his chitzonius to make sure that his insides, tocho kabar, make sure that his insides are pure like gold. Then the correct quote, the second shot is that it could be that whatever a person does, klape chutz, is not really for Hashem. That when I'm doing things that seem to be external, or, you know, things that are the exteriors that I'm doing, that's not really for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm doing that to make myself look better. Then the Kliyakar quotes almost diametrically, almost an exact opposite of what we just said before, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekabel Torah Machshav. If a person's really trying to work on himself and he's not there yet, Hashem knows that he's trying to work on himself. So Hashem says, okay, keep him a vater if you're not there. I can consider it as if you're already there. But it's much harder to fix yourself klapei chutz. In other words, a person looks at you, so a person's expecting all or nothing. A person doesn't know, like, oh, I'm working on myself, I'm trying to get better. So this shot is almost the exact opposite of the last one. Here the assumption is that it's dafka harder to work on your chitzonius, because here you have to, it's harder to put on a show when you're really trying for other people. But as most like Hashem, he knows where you're holding. And the fourth one, the Kliyakar quotes, is as the body says, I represent Torah Hanistar, and the outside is Torah Nigla, and he says Torah Nistar is much more Torah than Torah Nigla, and therefore he says it needs to be more preserved. And the fifth shot, he quotes the famous Gemara Moikata, and the Gemara says how Rebbe put a chirim on anyone who taught Torah Barabim, because the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim Chamukei Yerei Chayech. So the Gemara says just like a Yerech, just like a thigh is hidden, so Torah has to be taught privately. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Chia went out and taught Torah in public anyway, and he put him at the chirim. It was a whole story back and forth, what happened and why he did it and whether it was justified or not. So he says that teaching and learn this shot of bias from Chutz is a reference to teaching Torah privately versus publicly. In other words, whether you're doing it inside or outside, so the person who teaches Torah Bitsina is going to be so good to teach Torah Barosh Kol Chutz, to teach Torah publicly in a more public fashion. Then also he said that the Keser Torah is Mufkar Lakol, but a person who uses the Keser Torah for his own benefit, he has the status of a Zarah Karimimus, the famous Mishnah in Avos. The Gemara Megillah quotes this. The Mishnah says, HaMishtamish B'Taga Chalaf. The Mishnah says the person who misuses the crown of Torah for his own benefit, he's going to be removed from this world. He's going to die. So in other words, a person who misuses the Keser Torah for his own benefit, he has the status of a Zarah Karimimus. He's like a Zar who comes too close to, who approaches inside the Heichal. He's Chayev Misa for misusing the crown of Torah. Then the Pasuk says, so the Kliyakar writes that the Sofei tables, the last letters of each of those words, is Begematria 156, which is Kanu, to acquire. And he says the words Arko Vama Vachitzi Rachbo Vama Vachitzi Komaso, the Sofei tables is 48. So Kanu Memches are the 48 ways to acquire Torah. The famous mission in the end of Avos, right? The sixth paragraph, the price of the Avos, the 48, the 48 Kinyani Torah. So these Psukim are a reference. That Kanu Memches are the 48 Kinyani Torah. And he says it could be, the Kliyakar says that's why Rebbe was Gozer to Davka, learn Torah Bitsina, so this way you don't display a sense of Yuara. And as the Kliyakar ends off in his Harif words, he says, like many people in our generation who try to amass Harifus with Pilpul, all they try to do is become smarter and more intellectual and sharper and sharper and sharper. So, but they're missing the boat. He says that's not the point of learning. The point of learning is to amass the 48 Kenyani Torah, is to actually learn Torah and not just to become more, you know, more intelligent. The Kliyakar quotes a cute remez, the pasuk is Vasisa Vadea Tse Shitim. You're gonna make the badim, the poles on the side of the aron out of atzei shitim. So the Kliyakar writes the word badei in gematria is 16. So there are 16 people who get called up to the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. And he says the word zahav is zayin and Shabbos, hay is Thursday, and bez is Monday. So he says zahav is a reference to those 16 only who get called up for aliyos. And we know there's a famous, the pasuk says, right, lo yosuru habadim, right? But the pasuk says you cannot remove the badim to Israel, to remove the badim from the aron. So the Kliyakar says that's a symbol of the promise that Hashem makes to us in Yishayahu. Pasuk says lo yamushu atorah. Right, so in other words, that idea that you're not going to remove the bottom from the order is a symbol that Torah is going to be with your family forever. Fine. Then also, crazy, like, love this tragedy. The pasuk says, the Allah Aron Titina so Idos Asher Atene Lecha. At the end of Rishon, the pasuk says that Hashem says he's going to give us the Aron as an Idos, as like a testimony. So the Chasam Sofer writes that there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos. You're not allowed to put the kaporas. You cannot put the curtain of the kaporas on an aron, like an ark, on Shabbos unless there are hinges on the aron. So he says Moshe put the kaporas on during the week, and he lowered the luchos into the aron pachos migimel tfachim at a time, and therefore it would constitute lavud, and he wouldn't violate hotza, he wouldn't violate havar mirshister just on Shabbos, as the Chasam Sofer says. Then he points out also interesting. He says that in Bayis Rishon, we know the ikra was the aron. We know the Gemara points out that in Bayis Sheni there was no aron, right? So he says the reason why there was no aron in Bayis Sheni is because there was no idus. The pasuk, whatever the Torah describes the aron, always refers to it as an idus, right? So he says there was no idus in Bayis Sheni. What does that mean? Because he says that there was a certain lack of ashra as ashrina, but he says in the sense of being called a bias. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was called Acher. We took him in Chaga, and the Gemara describes this, how the famous passage in Chaga, God la bias Acherom and Arishon. So everyone tries to figure out, is that talking about Bias Shlishi, Bias Sheni? What is that talking about? So he says that, he says God la bias Acherom and Arishon doesn't necessarily mean Bias Shlishi. It means Bias Sheni. Bias Sheni, in other words, in the sense that it was a bias, it was greater. But it wasn't greater in the sense that it was lacking in Arun, it was lacking the Eder, so it was lacking the whole Yesod of a Binyan, but it was greater in that it was a bias. We know that the Pasuk in Vayishlach says, that's what Rashi points out, the word Acharon or Acharonim doesn't necessarily mean the last one, it means the next one. So that's what it means, that God Labayis HaAcharon, and Arishon doesn't necessarily mean the final bias, but even the second one. And he says the Bayis Shlishi, the Chasover says, is going to revert back to the model of Bayis Rishon, where the Shechin is the Iker. Meaning, again, with the deal of the Pasuk in Chagai says, God Labayis HaAcharon, and Arishon, is that Legabe being a bias, Bayis Sheni was greater, because it was just a bias, it was just an external bias without any Hashras HaShechina, or as much as there was a Bayis Rishon. But in Bayis Shlishi, that same Hashras HaShechina is going to come back. Then the Chazal reports it also that Hashem specified, again, when it says Vasu Aron Atishitim, Hashem specified that everything I'm telling you now applies to all clients. So in contrast to Moshe's famous Kaina, when Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chayda Eagle, he says, listen, you only told me Lo Yelucha Elohim Achirim Apanai. That was spoken to Moshe alone. It was in Lashon Yachid, the second Divra. So Moshe said, listen, you never told clients not to have other gods, you told it to me. So no, I don't have other gods. He says, you can't punish clients over that. So Hashem said, it's a nice taina, but he says from now on, I'm not going to have that taina anymore. Now it applies to everyone. And then the Chasur points out, the pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Moshe beyond Tzavu, so as Bnei Yisrael, he says, because that's a reference to Torah Shabbat. It's a famous, okay, we call halacha. It's kind of a halacha that says that that there's an issur to learn Torah Shabbat at night. We learn Torah Shabbat at night, not Torah Shabbat. There's a lot written about this. Alpi Kabbalah, there's a truva in the Betzalah Chachma about this. Dalad Mem Dalad. There's a whole long truth about this. About what the Hagdara that is, how can you say Kriyas Shema at night? Aren't you saying Pesukim? How can you say Mikra at night? So he says that whenever you're reading Pesukim, not for the purposes of Stam reading Pesukim, which most people never just read Pesukim, Stam reading Pesukim, you're saying Mikra, you're doing Kriyas Shema al Mita, because you're doing a million other things. I'm doing Tikkun Chatzos, I know what you're doing. But whatever you're doing, you're not reading Pesukim, Stam reading Pesukim. Therefore he says, then in that case, it would probably be Abi Mutter. Okay. Oh. It's like a Shmak Daske. Okay. Daske says like this. He says that they get back to the question we said before by Va'asu, by the Aron. He says the word Va'asu is because everyone has to get involved with Kavod HaTorah. Similar idea to what you said before, right? The Kavod HaTorah is something which everyone has to get involved in. Then he says like this. He says the Aron was not entirely plated with gold, because if it was, it would be too heavy to carry. And then Daskim says, you see from this idea that we know the famous idea that the Aron is no say as no stuff. The Aron carries those who carry it. That idea is only Lefisha. It was only like a horasha. He says, otherwise, why would Hashem say, don't plate it with gold? It's too heavy. What do you mean it's too heavy? The Aron carries everyone. He says, you see from here, the Aron doesn't carry everyone. But then he says, I have a big problem with this part. He says, Tzarechion, why did Uzzah die? They say for Shmuel, right, the Sanator for Parashat Shmini, Uzzah and Achio, right, they touch the Aron, Kishan to Habakar, because the Aron's going to fall, and Hashem gets angry and he kills, right? Vayichar Hashem parents with Uzzah, and Hashem kills Uzzah because he touched the Aron. So understand, if the Aron's not really no say as no stuff, the Aron only did that lefisha, so why did Uzzah die? So that's going to say Sarachian. Sarachian, why Uzzah died? He says, his whole shot is Sarachian. So it's a big Sarachian. Why did Uzzah die if the Aron's not really no say as no stuff? Sarachian. Okay, fine. Okay. Then the pasuk says, V'asisa chaporas zahav Torah. The chaporas is going to be made out of pure gold. So the Kliyaka writes, the significance of the making the kaporas of Torah, as we alluded to a little before, is to cover up the sodos haTorah, the nistar part of Torah needs to be covered up. It needs to be only to those people who are supposed to be learning that. Then we know, of course, the famous Gemara points out that the two kruvim, the face of the kruvim are like apiravri, the face of the kruvim are like children. And he says the reason why is to show that in order, the famous Gemara in Chagiga, in order to learn from a Rebbe, you have to be domel malach Hashem tzvaka. So the Gemara gets a pasuk in Malachi. The pasuk says that simsei kohen yishmeru da. The Torah Vakshmi Piyu in Malach Hashem Tzvakos. So the Gemara says that if your Rebbe is Doma L'Malach Hashem Tzvakos, then you can learn Torah from him. If not, then you can. So he says that's what it means. The face of the Kruvim in the face of a child, he's Naki Menachet. So the Rebbe who's Doma L'Malach Hashem Tzvakos has to be Naki Menachet in order to learn from him. And he says, in other words, the reason why the Kruvim had these baby faces is because a baby is someone who's Naki Menachet. And the Gemara, and again, this is one shot. It's probably not the only shot, but at least one. Probably part of the simplest understanding of the Gemara Chagiga. The Gemara says you can only learn from a Rebbe who's Domel Malach Hashem. It probably means he's Naki Menachet. Obviously, no one's really Naki Menachet completely, but it means that, you know, fundamentally and overall, he's not a really a terrible person. He's pretty much a good person. Who,
is that also recorded on Hey, I'm an Aleph in
Sukkah? In Sukkah, maybe. The Gemara's about the Krugim come up in Sukkah. I don't know if that. Maybe. It could be there also. Okay. Then the Klever also points out the Krugim, they spread their wings towards Shammai, but they also face each other, which again is representative of Benad Lomakom and Benad Lomachaver. Both of those components. And then also he has a lot of harifas. Again, the Kuyakar, he says that the Kruvim loved each other and they faced the Aron because their goal together was Torah. And they just not like those people who view themselves as Talmidei Chachamim and hold themselves in very high esteem. He says that the Kruvim really actually, they represent people who actually want to grow in Torah, actually care for one another. He says not like the people today who are just, you know, they're just like, whatever, we want to become smarter, we're the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, we're the biggest whatever, right? They don't want to hold, so he says that's like a big problem in our door. The Das Kinnah points out that the fact that the wings were above the heads of the Kruvim is a simon of Anava and Yira. Okay, fine. Now the pasuk says, "V'noati l'chasham," that Hashem's going, His presence is going to be known in the Mishkan. So the Kli Yakar writes that the famous Gemara in Brachos that in l'chal Hakadosh Baruch Hu el dalat amos shalacha b'vader. Hakadosh Baruch Hu in this world only has a dalat amos shalacha, and he says from there through the conduit of halacha, the kol Hashem goes in. Right? That's the pasuk at the end of the parsha. So uvivo Moshe el omod daberi tov vayishmas akol midaberi lo me'al kapores yivei shnei akruvim vayidaberi lo. The voice of Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes through the kruvim, because the Aron carries the holy kingdom, the kingdom of Kedoshim, which brings Shefa Eloki, which brings this bracha from Hashem. And as we said before, the Aron was no, so it carries those who carry it, at least maybe temporarily. And he says, and it's an itzchai milamach hazikim. But when a person grabs onto the Aron, either figuratively or literally, in other words, when you follow the ways of the Torah, Dalam Shalacha, you are getting Hashem's bracha, because that's what a kodesh baruch hu vote. Hashem's conduit for bracha is through Torah and is through halacha. Okay. Then the Kli Yakar points out also, the pasuk says, "Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shittim." The Shulchan is also made of Atzei Shittim. So he says that the Kli Yakar writes that the Shulchan is an allusion to just like the Mishnah at the end of Avos talks about the 48 ways to be Kohen Torah, there's a Mishnah talks about the 30 ways of being Kohen Malchus. So he says that the Shulchan represents the 30 Kinyani Malchus, and it represents the Hatzlacha of mankind, because the Shulchan brings Shefa to the world. He points out that this refers to Tzadikim, who are Sameach Bechelkam, and no matter how much or how little they have, says they're never really lacking. So Mechelko means that they're always happy with whatever you have. So he says that's why, as I mentioned before, the Shulchan, all the meat of the Shulchan are all, the Shulchan is Shalim Orkel Rachba. In other words, the measurements of the length and the width of the Shulchan are Shalim, but the Koma, the height of the Shulchan is Chaser Yud, right? In other words, to show that a person who has a Lev Nishbar, who has a broken heart, despite all of his wealth, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer him. Then the Kli Yakar writes that a person should only eat enough food just to be satisfied. He should only eat up to a third of his stomach's fill. Right? It's the famous Rambam Hilchos Deos, who talks about not stuffing yourself. In other words, you shouldn't eat till you're stuffed, you should eat till you're satisfied. Satisfied means, at least the way the Kli Yakar understands it, to be a third of your stomach, so whatever that means exactly. And he says that way a person will stay healthy. He says that the word Zahav, as we mentioned in the allusion before about Kriyas HaTorah, Zahav is also an allusion to the three brachas we say during Birkas HaMazon, the Zayin being Birkas HaZon, the Hay being Birkas HaAretz, and the Beis being Bona Yerushalayim. Okay, now the pasuk says also the asisalom misgeres. You have to make like a fence right around the kelim. The Kli Yakar writes the purpose of the misgeres is to keep your taivos in check. It's like a simon. It's almost like a siyug to keep your taivos in check. Then the pasuk says the asisalom arbat tabeos zahav. You have these four golden rings. So the Kli Yakar says that the tabas is a circle. A circle symbolizes a person's success in this world. And he says when a person sees his life as a circle, so he's going to come to support the idea. There's a famous idea that Rashi develops in a few places about avilus. The reason why we have an egg or a lentil for avilus is because it's around, it touches everyone. It's like a wheel. Everyone's affected by it. So when you realize that poverty is along the same lines, so when a person happens to be in a state of good fortune, he's going to support the idea because he realizes he's not going to be in this state forever, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the wheels turn. So therefore, a person realizes that when it's in a circle, you're going to have to support the Ani as well. And it says, and also represents Olam Haba, which is never ending. As we mentioned before, the Miskeres keeps our taivas in check. And he says through the Torah, you know, the famous Gemara, the Tainis, that tzaddikim are going to be nas machol at tzaddikim. That Hashem is going to make a machol for a circle for the tzaddikim in the future in Olam Haba. Then the Kli Yakar writes also, the pasuk says livatim livadim, that the badim are going to be like a bais. They're going to encase the Aron. He says that pasuk is written in the context of the Shulchan, because the word Vadim, if he picks up the letters, becomes a bid dalim for the poor people, because the rich people are only zochet to the food that they have because of the same as Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yud. The Gemara talks about conversation between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva, where Turnus Rufus says, right, isn't it kfira to give money to Aniyim? And Rabbi Akiva said, what do you mean? He said that the Aniyim only put your dafkit to give us the chutzim and they save us from going to Gehenna. The pasuk says, "V'asisa k'arusav, v'kapusav, umnaki usav." You have to make these hooks and all these different things on the kelim. So the Kli Yakar says the word "menaki usav" is similar to the word "benekiyos." So everything we do has to be done benekiyos. It has to be done with, you know, purity, with honesty, with sincerity. And the aniyim always have to be given tzedakah in a very dignified manner. The pasuk says that the bread has to be lefanai tamid. That refers to bread which is asked for properly. Like, we know the difference between the man and the slav. The man was asked for properly; it was given to them by day, and the slav was not, so it was given to them by night. Pesach says the asisa menoras zahav tohor. So the Kli Yakar writes that Moshe, you know, Rashi quotes that Moshe had difficulty with understanding what the menorah looked like, and Hashem had thrown into the fire to show him what the menorah. Says Moshe had grappled not necessarily what the menorah was, but he grappled with the fact that the menorah is made out of one single piece of gold, an eshes shozav, and one piece of gold could form this whole intricate menorah. And he says clearly needed Hakadosh Baruch Hu's assistance to make a menorah like that. You can't just take a piece of gold, take a hammer, and then have a menorah. You need Hakadosh Baruch Hu's assistance. What? Yeah. So Rashi.
What about everything else?
Well, the other kelim me in part. It's like if you had an instruction manual, you could figure out how to make the shulchan and make the other stuff. But like,
you would say the menorah is the most unique.
I mean, Rashi makes it harder. Rashi quotes from the Gemara from the Medrash that Moshe had struggled with understanding what the menorah looked like based on this idea. The clerical points are fascinating. He says if you look in the parsha of the Aron, every letter of the alphabet is in the parsha of the Aron except for the letter Gimel. Why? Because he says that a person should learn Torah without the expectation of Tashlum Gimel, without expecting to get paid back for it. You just learn Torah Lishma. You shouldn't expect to get rewarded, to get paid back for that. Then he also says that the menorah provides spiritual elevation if a person guards the Kadosh Baruch Hu's menorah. So I'm going to protect your neshama. And he says the famous question, why isn't the Torah ever mentioned Schar Olam Haba? Or at least, probably alludes to it sometimes, but this is the reason why the Torah is mentioned Schar Olam Haba, because Schar Olam Haba is Lamala Menateva. Just like the notion that Va'atzaras HaShemayim V'lo Yihyeh Matar, that the rain could be withheld because of Averos, is a supernatural idea, so too the concept of Schar Olam Haba is also something which is supernatural. And the Kli Yakar points out that just like wind and fire would naturally go up, if there was nothing preventing it, it would just go up to Shemayim. So he says your neshama would also go up if there were no Averos. So if a person never sinned, so then his neshama would go right back up to Shemayim, not justifying sinning, but it's saying that because we're on this world, so clearly we have things to be misakin. The Shulchan is located in the north of the Mishkan because that's where gold and Hatzlacha come from the north. The menorah is in the south because apparently the best Shem and the best Mashka, the liquids, come from that direction. The Kli Yakar says that there are seven types of tzaddikim and they correspond to the seven branches of the menorah, which would all face the middle. There's a famous verse that a lot of people talk about this, about how there are seven branches of Chachma in the world. You know, this is, you know, the Chassid Sofer talks about this in his Tshuvas, I think, and other people talk about this also. The heter of learning other, you know, secular subjects, whatever you want to call it. So he says, as long as your focus is towards the middle, towards, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you, as the Chassid Sofer coins the phrase, Rakachos to Tabakos, that the other subjects you learn, history, science, philosophy, whatever, they're gonna help out. They're gonna be like maidservants for the Torah that you learn. So if that's your mindset, so he says, then it's a great thing. Then it's going to enhance your Torah. Then also the menorah is supposed to, the menorah is nochach ha-shulchan. It's opposite the shulchan to show that the more hatzlacha you have in olam hazeh, so the less chutz you have in olam haba. It's a famous idea there. That, you know, when Yaakov says in Parshas Vayishlach, katonti mikol achatz mikol ha-hames, the Gemara Kiddushin says that Yaakov was afraid that he was going to lose all of his chutz in olam haba because he had so many good things were happening to him in olam hazeh. The pasuk says, "Ureiva asik b'savni zema shiratam mareva har." So the Chassid Sofer writes, the menorah represents chokhmas haTorah, and then he says you either have to have a ksav in front of you. In other words, when you're looking at Torah, you have to look at something. Or, as Maram Gil points out, it has to be miyushar on lefanacha. Like Maram talked about a story about Rabbi Meir, where says that Rabbi Meir one time went to Asya to be ma'abir l'shana, and he was writing a Megillah, but didn't have a Megillah with him. He had to write a Baal Peh. So the Gemara says, the reason why you could do that is because Pesach Mishlei says that your eyelids are like straight, they're looking at the Torah and they know the Torah about that. Whereas Al-Kashia, how could he do that? Because we know that Rabbi Hananel also had Torah in front of him, but he wasn't allowed to do it either. So the Gemara says because there's a Shas Al-Chak and didn't have any Megillah to write in front of. But it says the point is that the Torah either has to be physically in front of you or mentally in front of you at all times. But he says in contrast, the Krushim, you know, the famous Mishnah Shabbos points out, they used to write letters Aleph, Beis, Gimel on the Krushim or to pair them up. So this way they would have the letters in front of them at all times to know what went where. The Chassover points out that Moshe did not know, as we said, how to make the menorah. So Hashem said, take the inspiration that you drew from the menorah and use that and apply it to other mitzvos and have that carry you through for other mitzvos. Fine. Then the okay, so technical fine. So Okay, so yeah, so the pasuk says Va'asa Mishkan Ta'asa Eser Yirios. The Mishkan had 10 curtains around it. So the Kliyakar says that we don't want to use the term Asiya by the Mishkan itself. We use it by the different parts of the Yirios of the Mishkan, because the term Asiya doesn't apply to Hashem. Right? Asiya is a physical action. Hashem is beyond physical actions. We don't want to use that term. Then the Kliyakar points out the Mishkan was built upon three worlds, and the 10 Yirios represent the Asara Mamaros Shabahen Nivra Ha'olam, and the 50 Krasim, right, the 50 planks, are the 50 Shari Bina, right, the 50 gates of Chachma, and the number 50 is godly. The two sets of the Chamesh Yirios are connected to the two sets of the Dibros. The Paroches separates between the Kodesh Kadashim, where the Shechina is located, and the Oel, which stores the Kelim, which is a demonstration of the Hatzlacha of Klal Yisrael. Then he says also, this is great. The Kliyakar says that we find things in the Beis HaMikdash that connect two extremes. He says that's why the Krasim are compared, the Rishami and Brachos compares the Krasim to stars. Because he says stars connect this world and the upper world. We see them, but they're really not part of this world. They're really like celestial beings. So he says a person who's not Usik Betona in this world can never reach a godly level. This is the famous right at the end of the parasha, but the Briach HaTichon. The pasuk says, Briach HaTichon, Mavriach Min HaKatzel HaKatzel. This plink, this one long plink, ran from one side of the Mishkan to the other, and it held the entire thing together. So he says that this is the symbolism of the Mishkan. There are always extremes being brought together in the Mishkan that are kind of living in harmony. So he says that Yaakov Bedavka brought the material for the Briach HaTichon came from the Sulam. The Sulam, Musulam Mutzavar Zavar Zvayitze, which connects these two worlds, connects Olam Haz and Olam Haba. It's the same idea, the stars, the Sulam, that the Briach HaTichon is connecting the opposite extremes of this world and the next world. The Kliyakar writes that the pasuk says Hakrashim La Mishkan in Gematria is Yaakov Avinu Nata Lehem Arazim B'Mitzrayim. In other words, the Krashim where Yaakov planted the cedars that Yaakov planted in Mitzrayim, which was a Rashi quotes, and he says it's also Tisratzet. Tisratzet means to appease, because Yaakov said, "How am I going to be Maratzet for the Chayda Eagle?" And Hashem said, "The Atzi Shitim," right? Because he says the Atzi Shitim are going to be Mechaper for the Shtus of the Chayda Eagle, or the same word, Shtus of the Chayda Eagle, and the Arazim represent the idea of Tzadik Katamari for Keres Balvanoniske, and then Akharish Baruch who rests among Klai, so that's going to be a Kapara for the Chayda Eagle. The Chasidim points out the Atzi Shitim were Chashuv because Yaakov Avinu brought them down, but Yaakov did not bring the gold from the Shlal Mitzrayim, from the spoils of Mitzrayim, and therefore the Zav actually became more valuable because the Shittim were worth more than the Zav was, you know, like metaphysically, because Yaakov had brought down the Shittim. It says, but the Aron and the Shulchan, the Lechem upon him and the Luchos were on the gold, and therefore that was more Chashev, and that enhanced the wood from the Aron and the Shulchan. The Chasam points out that Chira Melech Tzor, we know that Shlomo HaMelech sends to, that the Chiram sends Shlomo all these different woods for the Beis HaMikdash. Chira Melech Tzor is a Rosh HaTables for Chametz, so he says that the symbolism is that Rikavon Olet, which means that there's going to be rot that's going to come up onto the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the Mikdash was destroyed. In contrast, the Atzei Shittim in this week's Parsha were Omdim Liolme Olam, they last forever, and therefore they were Maisei Yaakov. They weren't sent by Hiram. Whatever Hiram sends is only temporary, it's going to rot the Chametz. But he says, whatever Yaakov sends is going to last forever. The Kliyakar writes that the term Atzei Shittim is mentioned 24 times. It was just connected to 24,000 people who died in Shittim at the end of Parshas Balak, right? The whole story with Pinchas and Zimri, the whole story then for Balak and Pinchas. So it's a reference to that because they didn't have a Getter Erva. We pointed out before about the Briach HaTichon, so the Chasam Sofer writes that the nace of the Briach HaTichon was that one long plank could support the entire Mishkan. What was the point of the nace? Chasam Sofer says the point of the nace was to demonstrate our achdus and to show that we fundamentally are not arguing about Emunah B'Hashem, but we have to be careful about B'mitzvos B'nan L'Chaveru. He says that the reason why Yeravam Ben Nevat was such a terrible chote was not necessarily because he was Ovid Avodah Zarah. There were plenty of Malchias or Ovid Avodah Zarah. Why was Yeravam Ben Nevat the worst one? Because he was Machtias Arabim, because he incited everyone else, because he was the his Ben Lachaviro, that was a problem with him. That's why he was so much worse. Okay? Then, this is also Kishmak. The Chazorah says like this. He says, if you look at Tehillim Perek Samach Zayin, he says actually in Kiddush Levana, right? There are seven psukim in that Perek of Tehillim, and they parallel the Shiva Kenei Menorah, and they parallel the seven Nevios, the Gemara Megillah, about the seven Nevios. He says, the first of the last psukim in that Perek mentioned, right? Yechaninu Vivarchenu, Yair Ponavi Tonu Sela, says that it's a reference to Sarah and Esther, because the Gemara Megillah writes that Arba Nashim Yithyef Yosayu Ba'olam, the four most beautiful women in the world. So the Gemara says, Sarah, Rachav, Avigail, and either Esther or Vashti, different gears in the Gemara. So he says, Sarah and Esther are parallels. They're Elokim Yechaninu Vivarchinu. Their faces light up because they're the most beautiful women. Then the second and the sixth pasuk are reference to Miriam and Huldah because Kalev and Yehoshua cared about what would happen to Miriam. It's the pasuk in Parshas Shemos that Miriam watched Moshe, right? The Vateisat Tzalach, Elzumir Huldah, the Amai Asalo. She watched Moshe after he was thrown into the river. Pasuk says, Ladas Barat Tarkecha, to know what would happen to Miriam. Pasuk 3 and 5 are reference to Devorah and Avigail, because Devorah and Avigail respectively were on high Har Tavor and Har Carmel, and we know that Har Tavor and Har Carmel both came to Mount Torah. They were there, right? The Mar-Mila says that they came to Mount Torah, and that's what the pasuk says. Yoducha Amim Elokim, Yoducha Amim Kulam is a reference that the entire world was going to know about Mount Torah. And the middle pasuk, the pasuk Dalet, is about Chana. The pasuk says Umim twice, right? Umim Ba'aretz Tanchim Sela, which represents the two types of Malchios that would be anointed by Shmuel, who was the son of Chana, which is David, who would be anointed with the Pach, and Shaul would be Shaul with the Pach, and David with the Keren. Then the Chasam points out that also that there's a little misconception. People, we know of the Mishnah that says that the Kohen would race to get to, you know, the race up the Mizbech to get the Torah and the Kriyas Hadeshen because it made you wealthy. Chasam says that technically the Korban Olah also made you wealthy. The difference was is that it was so common, it happened all the time, that, you know, it wasn't as big of a phenomena to get, you know, to be zocha to that. The pasuk of Asisa Paruch es Tchilas. Why does the Paruch make Tchilas? Kliyaka writes that, well, before that he says that we can only enter the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur when we're Doma L'malach Hashem and we're lacking any physicality, we're lacking any gashmias, and that's why it's called Maasei Choshev. It says if you see the paruches, you're going to remember to not enter except on Yom Kippur. And then we know also that the Adnei Kesef, they were white. That's the idea of Mechila on Yom Kippur, of Kapara. And the Kohen, of course, you know, wears the four big day Lavan. And the Masach, the curtain, divides between the Mizbeach. That's Mechaper for the Chet that are done with the five senses. And the source of Chet is from the Nachash HaKadmoni. He was the one who stirred up Chet in the first place. And he says there are three main causes of Chet in the world. You have the Chomer, the physicality. You have the Nachash, as we mentioned before. And you have also how your senses get mixed up. Pasuk says that v'samto asah shulchan mikos la parochas v'asah menorah nocha chashulchan atzala hamishkan teimana. So the Chasover writes that the shulchan is first, but it's not kovei amako, because the pasuk says in kovelas echad me'elof matzasi. The pasuk says that I only found one person in a thousand. He says when it comes to hora, when it comes to finding a posik, it's gonna be like a long shot. It's only be one in a thousand. You're gonna find someone who's gonna be a suitable posik. But he says the ashirim have to support and take care of tamid chacham. The tamid chacham also have to make sure the shulchan's on their left. They can't flatter the ashir just because he has money. In other words, the tamid chacham has to talk straight to the guy, even though he has money, and he can't kiss up to him. Okay. And the pasuk says, so the Kliyaka writes that the Atei Shittim is Mechaber, as we said before, for the Shtus of Chid of Chid Egel, and right, and he says that a fool is a person without Das, which is symbolized the pasuk at the end of the parsha, says Nevuv Luchos Taseu. So the Luchos were hollowed out. So the word Nevuv is basically a person who's hollowed out, doesn't have a brain in his eyes. It's a hollow person. So he says that that's a person who's without Das. Okay. Then the pasuk is Vasisa Karnosav. You have to make these horns or like on the side of the Mizbeach. So the Kliyaka writes that's Macha, it's a kapara for the aisle, because he's a sinner who is Menageach Klapim. He's like he gored Hashem. He was trying to attack Hashem. The pasuk Vasisa Lo Michbar Maaseh Reshes Nechosh. The Michbar was like this, like surrounding. The way the Gemara in Zvachim describes this, it was called a sorig. It was like this like net almost that surrounded the Mizbeach. So the Kliyaka writes that the Yitzhahara spreads a trap, and the Mizbeach has this reshes, this net, which saves you from the Yitzhahara. So he says that the fire burns daily on the Mizbeach, and it doesn't damage the Mizbeach. The ring, we know these all in the Mishnah Novos, where it lists all the Nisa that happened in the Mizbeach, right? The fire came down, didn't extinguish, it rained, but didn't extinguish the fire on the Mizbeach. The wind doesn't put out the fire. He says that the Mizbeach was hollow, it was full of dirt and stones. And he says the dinners, we know from the pasuk and the Yisro, you can't have any chair of any metal which passes over the Mizbeach. He says that the Mizbeach also protects us from being harmed by the Dalad Yisoyos, from wind, from earth, fire, whatever, all those things. And then he writes also that the Mizbeach Avanim are protecting us from the Arba Mises Bezdin. Skila is, of course, the stones of the Mizbeach. The Eish is Eish Tremendu, is Eish Mizbeach Tukadbo. The Herod is Lo Sonif Aleihem Barzel. And Chenek is a fire, is the rain, because when you drown in the water, that's also a symbol of Chenek. So then last word here. Okay, so the Chasover writes, Pasuk Shomar Torah's comments, this is actually from the Haftorah. Chasover says that since Shlomo was seduced by his wives and the Bigdei Malchus did not have the Shmir of Tzitzis, that's when the Bais HaMikdash was destroyed. There's a whole part about this. If it was more in Menachos, Mendalid, there's a story with the guy who hires out the Zona, and right, it's just the most expensive Zona in the world, and he sits him in the face, and then he has this whole Musar Haskell about how, you know, he shouldn't, you know, he basically should become firm, and he did. And so he says that Shlomo was seduced by his wives because he didn't have the Bigdei Malchus, he had the Bigdei Malchus on, and the Bigdei Malchus are potter from Tzitzis. This whole question. This Gemara in Zvachim talks about this, because the Malchus are made of shatnez. They have to be made of shatnez. The Gemara in Vamos talks about how tzitzis me ikra adin. We have klav hasei do chalos hasei. So technically, if I have, let's say, my tzitzis are made out of linen and my beggar's wool, or vice versa, meikra adin tzmut. The Gemara says we try to avoid doing that because you don't have to do that. But by the big dekuna, you have to do it. There's no choice. The pasuk is beferish. You have to have wool, linen, and dekuna. So that's an hasei do chalos hasei. So there, you can't have tzitzis on the big dekuna. So therefore, maybe that's why Shlomo was lacking shmira, and that's why he ended up getting seduced by his wives. Sure. Yeah. Okay.